Good morning, and welcome to Morning Magazine. This is Michael Klisch. My first guests this morning are here to talk about the school referendum that will be on the ballot in April.
That's correct.
Next April. If you probably didn't hear that voice because he's too far from his microphone, but that is Fort Atkinson School District Superintendent Jeff Zaspel. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Michael.
And with you, you have your business manager, Jason Demarath. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Michael.
And the president of the school board, Bob Chady. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
This is not it's a referendum, but it's really just asking the voters, can we continue doing it the way we're doing it? Is that fair to say?
Well, I don't know that I'd say that's exactly the way, what we're trying to do. We're trying to demonstrate what our need is, and it's an operational referendum where we're going to ask for money above the taxes that we're allowed to collect for operating our schools. And right now we're not certain of what the amount is. We're working with a couple of different citizens groups, one a finance group, that ends its work this evening, and then a community advisory group that will start this Thursday evening. And those are the folks that we're listening to in terms of what the amount should be, how the structure of the referendum should take place, a lot of different information that we're gathering from the public.
Okay. The meeting tonight?
Yes.
What time?
6 o'clock this evening at the Luther Administration Building upstairs in a conference room there. But so far, the finance group has taken a look at the history of referendums in the school district, which has been interesting.
I'm sure that was a page-turner.
Yeah, it was a page-turner. We started out in we've had a couple of different referendums, but we went back as far as 2005. And at that point, the citizens were asked to exceed the revenue limit by $2.1 million on a recurring basis, and that referendum failed. And so the need didn't go away, and then in 2006, we had another referendum, and there we were asking for a couple of different things. One was about the heating and air conditioning and cooling systems. Geothermal was part of that referendum, and also operational. And we won that referendum, and that referendum was in place for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, that committee that we worked with had indicated that 5 years later, we would likely have to go to referendum again because of the operational piece. And lo and behold, in 2011, we went to referendum for the same operational amount that was $694,000 beyond the tax, allowable tax, and we passed that referendum for 3 years. And that brings us to today, where we're in the third year of that referendum and we'll be needing to address needs. And so thus the process that we're using.
Okay. The public generally aware of what you're doing. It's not a new concept that you're trying to explain to them. They probably pretty much understand for the most part.
Well, I think, unfortunately, they're going to have to get used to referendums because the way state finance is going, not just in Fort Atkinson but across the state, it looks like the way that schools are going to secure the money that they need to provide the services for their students in the community are through referendums. And I think we've already seen referendums occur with more frequency than we have in the past, and I think that's only going to continue.
Much more frequency, in fact, and I think you are unfortunately correct. More of them, more often. There are school districts that have never had a referendum, it seems, asking for them and making mistakes as a result.
Right.
It usually takes a few before the first one gets passed. If this one doesn't get passed, what are you going to have to cut?
Well, I don't know if we can get into the what we're going to have to cut yet. That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Is the what if? And quite honestly, I think the board is approaching this not trying to be blind to that scenario, but trying to be more positive in our approach and trying to maintain what the school district of Fort Atkinson has to offer our local community. We have great programs that we offer here in Fort. We have great teachers and staff. And I think, unfortunately, the what if is, you know, our class sizes will likely have to increase. Some of our course offerings may likely have to be removed from the table. But more importantly, I think, I look at our staff. We have great individuals that are teaching. I mean, I'm a byproduct of the school district myself, graduated back in 88, and I can name all the wonderful teachers that I had then. And we can get into naming all the wonderful teachers and the other staff members, from aides and paras to food service to custodians and administrators. The list can go on. We'd be here all day. But I think what really concerns me is that if we're not successful with this referendum, we're going to lose that wonderful talent. You know, we've got great teachers. We like to refer to them as our A game. We hire them, we issue them a contract because they are the best. There's no question at their position. And we're very fortunate to have them working for us in the school district. If the referendum doesn't pass, I'm concerned that our A game teachers may become B, C plus.
You're going to lose them.
We are going to lose them without question. You know, we will have staff that'll depart the education career field and go elsewhere, or we will have our A game teachers, our great teachers, and we can list them by name. And quite honestly, they will be recruited by other local school districts, and they will go and work there.
Mm-hmm. Are there headhunters out there looking for teachers?
I don't know that I would say that there are headhunters out there yet, mm-hmm. but I would tell you that I think where education is in Fort Atkinson, with the impact over the last couple of years from the legislature and in how we operate schools, and particularly staffing amongst our certified staff, that they have opportunities today that are much that provide for them when they leave one district and go to another.
Okay.
I think we've been very fortunate to be able to retain our staff here in Fort Atkinson. I don't want to roll the dice, Mike, to find out what our odds are on keeping those great educators down the road in the next couple of years.
Okay. That's one area that's going to get hit.
I don't know how you approach, you know, making cuts of the magnitude that we're looking. You know, if the referendum in April were to fail, I believe that we're looking in the neighborhood of $1 million in reductions that need to be made.
Yeah.
I don't know how you make $1 million. I mean, I don't think we order $1 million worth of paper that we can just reduce the amount of paper that we order and supplies. You know, then you're going to have to look at where the big dollars are, and they're in staffing and benefits, unfortunately. And staffing then translates into the classroom, and your class sizes increase, and it translates into the classroom about some of the curricular offerings that we have, and particularly at the high school, that are there to prepare our students for life after high school, be it going on to post-secondary education or entering the workforce. You know, those offerings then get tweaked back as well. That's not, you know, our business community is telling us that we need to make, they are looking for individuals to come out of our high school with more technical skills. Well, if we can't maintain, you know, we're not going to be able to even grow and to meet that. So
you shouldn't have to be dealing with this in this manner. Certainly budgeting is something you deal with on a regular basis, but you find yourselves shackled in some ways, prevented from doing things that as a functioning government entity, you ought to be able to do.
I think everybody would agree with you. I think that does speak a little bit to the change in approach from the state legislature in particular.
Mm-hmm. Who probably doesn't know very much about running a school district.
Well, maybe not necessarily about running a school district, but they very well understand the impact on the property taxpayers. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, they, much like we as the Board of Education, have our eye and concern about what it costs locally. What I believe that the state is saying is they want to help control and limit property tax increases. And the only way that they are going to permit that to occur for the local school systems, much like Fort Atkinson and others, to continue to receive the revenues that we need is to go to a referendum to ask for the local voters' support of increasing the property taxes to support our local school district. Thankfully, I think, we live in the community that we do.
Yeah. That was a polite way to put it. I'd have said it differently. No sense beating that horse anymore. We've been through this. I've had many conversations about this over the years. Apparently, it's legal. It's constitutional what they've done. I find that hard to believe that you can, for instance, limit the income of an entire work group for any reason, let alone so you don't raise other people's taxes or. I find it somewhat baffling that it can be done, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, and I think even outside staffing, outside the staffing cost, which is 80% of our budget, you think about basically just simple numbers of we're allowed to bring in less than a 1% increase in revenue each year, and we do purchase services as well. We pay for utilities, we pay for busing, we need supplies, and all that stuff. Even if you aren't talking about staffing, is going to go up more than 1% per year just based on inflation. And so basically you're trying to find things to reduce just to keep up with inflation even in those areas, let alone 80% of our budget being salary and benefits.
And education is the most productive investment government can make. There is empirical evidence of this. Every dollar you invest in education returns, what, 4, 5? I'm not even sure what the number is. And if you don't invest in education, you pay for it. You can look at states like Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, that don't invest in education. And they have the lowest incomes in the country, the least educated people in the country, and however, their taxes are low.
Right.
Wonderful. They're low because they don't make any money, but let's not get into that. But back to this referendum, though. You've got a meeting tonight. The reason for that?
Well, this evening will be the last meeting for the Finance Advisory Committee, and these are people that have really taken a look at the financial picture of the district. It's been their job to sort of understand where we are in a fiscal way and to look at different options, some prepared by us, some prepared by them. And tonight our hope is that they will come up with a final recommendation for the Board of Education. That recommendation could include up to 3 different options, and then that group will then present to the community advisory group made up of 19 citizens. We put a call out, and we have 19 people on that committee, and they'll begin meeting on Thursday night this week. And one of the first things that they'll do is hear a state of the district report similar to what the finance group received, and they'll also receive the recommendation by a presentation from the finance group. And then it's their job to sort of hear the story, understand it, and then give recommendations in terms of how do they see it? What would they like to see happen? And then ultimately what happens with that group after it meets at least 3 times will be to give a recommendation to the Board of Education. So they're both advisory groups to the Board of Education, and then the Board of Education will take those recommendations and move forward with them, either accepting them, modifying them, whatever the case may be. But the whole idea here is really for us to obtain citizen feedback. The reason that we used a finance group was because sometimes the finances are so complicated that it can really fly over some people's head or confuse them. And so that is the reason that we used a finance group this time, just to get so we could get into the depth we need to, given the complexity of school financing and where we're at.
It's not an easy sell. It's complicated. It's complex. It's every question raises 10 more.
You're absolutely correct. I think that there are varying degrees of understanding related to school finance, but what you're asking is the community at large to support something, and in order for them to do that, it's our goal to help them really understand what is a referendum, why is it necessary, why are we in the situation we're in, and it's our hope that we can help them understand that. You know, fortunately, Michael, Fort Atkins and the community here enjoys a very strong school district, mm-hmm. and I think that school district shapes a large part of the personality of Fort Atkinson as a community, and certainly our quality of life here. And it costs money to do that, and like you said earlier, it's an investment. And I think people need to look at it holistically and really try to understand the whole picture, and that's what we're seeking to do through this process.
You do have a lot of community support for many programs, the athletic programs, the music program, the FFA. You've got big groups of parents, of alumni, that are supporting these groups in many ways, financially and in other ways as well. That's a big plus.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I would say that it's certainly a reflection upon the quality of life that we have in Fort Atkinson. You know, education has a key component of that. You know, our local business community contributes to that. Our local healthcare system is part of that. You look at many of the amenities that we have in this community, from city government, from the library to the museum, you know, some of our local nonprofits. I think we're very fortunate to be where we are, residing where we are, and having the resources that we do in this community. And my hope is that the community, when it comes to that April referendum ballot, will come forward and step forward and offer to continue their support of the school district. You know, the question is still before us as to the how much, and we don't know that yet. We don't know the amount. We know that the $694,000 that the taxpayers have permitted us to exceed the revenue cap for the past 8 years has been very much appreciated. But quite honestly, I think that's going to leave us short of where we need to be. That, I think, is the reason why the Board of Education has asked for the community members to step forward in these advisory capacities to help us give consideration to the dollar amount, to the length of the referendum. You know, 8 years ago it was for 5 years. 3 years ago it was for 3 years. We're not sure if it's going to be for 2 years, 3 years. I don't think it's going to be for four or five. I think the Finance Advisory Committee in their meeting last week kind of nixed the fourth 4 year option, and there's no interest in going beyond that. So is it going to be a 2 year or a 3 year referendum? I don't know. But there will be a referendum ballot or question on the ballot in April, the dollar amount to be determined, the length to be determined. And unfortunately, given the current state of operations of school financing in the state, I would say that in 2 or 3 years from now, we'll be back at the table again.
The odds are we got to take a break. Hang on. We're going to pause for a quick update on the weather. This forecast brought to you by the Velveteen Rabbit Bookshop and Guesthouse in Fort Atkinson. Go online at thevelveteenrabbitbookshop.com. Cloudy today with a chance for rain later this afternoon and a high of 56. Cloudy tonight, good chance for more rain, a low of 47. Overcast on Wednesday, chance for more rain, and a high of 53 degrees. It's 52 degrees right now at WFAW.
Join the Velveteen Rabbit Bookshop for story time Saturday, November 9th, starting at 10:30 a.m. Thanksgiving is for family is the November theme. Story time is a perfect way to share books with your little ones. If you have family coming to visit soon, book the Velveteen Rabbit Guest House. It's a cozy, comfy place for family to stay when they're in the Fort Atkinson area.
A taste of Japan right here in Fort Atkinson? Sounds too good to be true, but at Kitchu Japan, Japanese restaurant, you'll enjoy classic Japanese cuisine without traveling far. Try tempura specials, favorites from the hibachi, and of course, a wide variety of sushi. Something for everyone. Whether you're an experienced diner or looking to try a roll for the very first time. And trying new things has never been better. Great lunches and dinners are waiting for you at Kitchu Japanese Restaurant at Sherman and Main Streets in downtown Fort Atkinson.
Cultural Affairs Contemporary Issues in the Diversity Forum presents the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles presenting It Gets Better on November 7th at Young Auditorium. A six-member cast of talented singers engage our community in a week-long series of outreach activities. The show is a progressive, edgy, and fun combination of original and mainstream songs. You'll hear stories of strength and hope from the It Gets Better project created in response to bullying. For tickets, call 262-472-2222 or buy online at uw.edu/youngauditorium.
Trust is earned over generations, not seasons. For over 165 years, the Renk family's been earning that trust where it counts the most, in your fields. And yields, they don't lie. With over 1,000 top finishes in first and state trials over the last 3 years, Renk Seed proves its value through superior genetics and production. One family, seven generations, all working for your success. Renk means results.
Hey Badger fans, be sure to check out the contest page on uwbadgers.com for a chance to win great prizes from our sponsors. Just click Contests under the Fans tab at the top of the page to register to win tickets and game day experiences from Hotel Red, American Family Insurance, AAA Wisconsin, Toyota, and Forward Dental. Also register to win an ATV from Kawasaki, a Kubota riding lawnmower, unlimited golf pass to Vitens Golfland, and a bowl game getaway and free gas from Quick Trip. It's all on uwbadgers.com contest page under the Fans tab.
And welcome back to Morning Magazine. This is Michael Klisch. We're talking about the school referendum in Fort Atkinson. We'll be on the April ballot. Superintendent Jeff Zaspel, between now and then, what's going to be happening?
Well, Michael, you'll see us finish our work with these community advisory groups, and they will give us recommendations that will go to the Board of Education. And from that point, the board and the administration will really talk about plan for more community engagement. You heard me say prior that my goal is to help people really understand what is a referendum, why a referendum, and how does it influence us here in Fort Atkinson. We're talking about an operational referendum, and unfortunately we talk about maintaining current programming and services to kids, but to be realistic, that's not what schools can do today. We've spent a great deal of time strategic planning and forecasting what we'd like to become, and it's very difficult to do without the resources to see that happen, and so it holds us back. In spite of the 8 years of the same level of funding from the taxpayers that we're very grateful for, we've been able to create something bigger and better and address our strategic plan. As President Chady indicated, the 694 is insufficient, quite frankly, for us to even maintain current programs and services. And it's sad because we have a lot of things that we've planned to do in the next 5 years through our strategic plan in an academic, fiscal, and in the communications agenda that would make our school district even stronger than it is. And that concerns me, and I think it concerns the Board of Education as well. So what will happen is you will I hope you'll have us back, because we'll be talking more specifically about what it will look like through the process of engagement with the community. It will become clearer and clearer as to what the question or questions will be. And our job is to listen to, engage with, help people understand, answer questions, and ultimately tool them with the information they need to make a good decision on April 1st.
All right. And I think, yeah, we'll probably have you back again. Probably a couple times between now and spring.
I would imagine so.
Yes. All right. Thank you all very much. You're listening to Morning Magazine. Stay tuned. We're going to break for the news and a few messages. We'll be back.
Is your furnace ready for a cold winter's night? Mills Fleet Farm has microallergen filters on sale, just $9.95. Light up the season with Sylvania Mini LED Light Sets. Beautiful outside or inside. 100 count, only $8.88. Peanuts are great for snacking. And holiday treats. 1 pound bags, $1.39. Be kind to the kiddies. 20 pounds of Sprout Mixed Bits on sale, $10.99. And Toyland is open at Mills Fleet Farm.
We love it!
These shining moments in Badger history are brought to you by Marshfield Clinic. Marshfield Clinic reminds you, don't just live, shine.
Jamar Fletcher was one of Wisconsin's greatest defensive backs, sharing the school record for career interceptions with 21. One of the biggest games came in 2000 against Oregon, where he picked off Joey Harrington three times, including a game-clinching grab that secured Wisconsin's 27-23 come-from-behind victory. Fletcher went on to be named the nation's top defensive back that year and has had several other shining moments in his football career. But he's most proud of what he's doing now in Broward County, Florida.
I've been working with some of the youth down here, you know, dealing with things along the lines of leadership qualities and true life lessons and, you know, basically how to carry yourself and how to prepare for the future and give yourself a chance at success.
Badger All-American Jamar Fletcher, shining both on and off the field.
These shining moments in Badger history have been brought to you by Marshfield Clinic. Marshfield Clinic. Don't just live. Shine.
Good morning, this is Michael Klisch. A Wisconsin appeals court refused to suspend a contempt of court finding against state labor relations officials for enforcing parts of Governor Scott Walker's collective bargaining restrictions. State attorneys asked the court to suspend the contempt ruling pending the Supreme Court's decision, but the court ruled the state failed to show how delaying elections would cause any harm. A proposal that would make it illegal for Wisconsin employers to ask workers or job applicants to turn over their passwords for social media accounts such as Facebook is scheduled for a vote by the Senate Judiciary Committee today. The measure had public hearings in both Senate and Assembly committees earlier this year. In January, Wisconsin will join most states in requiring fingerprint-based FBI checks for child care providers who receive federal subsidies. The advocacy group Child Care Aware of America says fingerprint checks are critical because criminals can just use an alias to get around name-based checks. Both opponents and supporters of the proposed casino in Kenosha planned a rally at the state capitol today, one event organized by Tea Party groups, another by conservative organizations to urge Governor Walker to reject the proposal from the Menominee Tribe and Hard Rock International. The Menominee will be there as well. They argue the project is good for the state's economy. This is Michael Klisch.
Here's the Southern Wisconsin Weather Eye Forecast, powered by WeatherAlbagy.com. With mostly cloudy conditions through the midday and this afternoon, when temperatures climb up to about 56 with southeast winds 10 to 15, then rain is likely for tonight with a low at 47 with south winds 10 to 20. With rain showers yet on Wednesday, temperatures will stay steady near 50 with a northwest wind at 10 to 20. On Wednesday night, with partly cloudy skies, we'll fall off to 29, followed by a high in the mid-40s Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 940 WFAW.
And welcome back to Morning Magazine. This is Michael Klisch, and from the Young Auditorium on the UW-Whitewater campus, we have Leslie Lemuro. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Michael.
And on the line with us, and we'll have to take his word for it because he is a magician, we have Bill Blagg. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Oh, outstanding.
Good. How are you, Bill?
Oh, doing fantastic.
Well, you ought to. You're a magician. He's already got me baffled.
Yeah. He's full of it.
All right. You're coming to the Young Auditorium November 16th. That is a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really excited to be bringing the show there. I'm a Wisconsin native, so we're definitely looking forward to it. We just wrapped up our tour in Florida. We performed, actually we started in Austin, Texas, and then it took us through Florida. So we've done 16 shows over the past 2 weeks for over 20,000 people. So wow. It's good to be home, even though it's colder here than it is in Florida.
You are a magician.
Yeah, that's cool. And you've got some pretty cool acts. I have to say that I once was an assistant for Bill Blagg on stage.
You were?
Yes. Remember that, Bill?
I remember it. I remember it well.
At the Widener Center,
we were the best rope cutter in the world.
No fingers, no cuts, nothing.
Wow. That is a good thing because I did have a lady 8 years ago in Indianapolis cut off the tip of my finger doing that magic illusion.
Oh.
That was a true story. It happened in a show. I asked the lady to cut a rope into two pieces for the world's greatest magic trick. And she cut the rope and caught the tip of my finger in the scissors and actually literally cut off the tip of my finger. So we had to stop the show, and I had to go get medical treatment and get it all stitched back together, and it looks absolutely horrendous today.
I'm sure it does.
You can see a picture on my Facebook page, Bill Blagg on Facebook. You can see a photo. It looks really awful.
Oh, there's a great reason to go to your website.
Forget about the magic. Let's check out his deformed finger.
She was really nervous, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Something.
Yeah. What's the title of this one? Here's one that didn't work?
I guess so. Yeah. When magic goes bad.
Yes.
Right. Anyways, there were no dismemberments at all when I cut the rope. Just the rope.
Could it?
Had rehearsed for a number of days and did a fantastic job with the 1 second of slicing in half. It was perfect. But no, we're really excited for the show coming up in Whitewater. We have a variety of new illusions in the show that are exclusive to our show that we've developed over probably 10, 12 years now. We actually have the world's only hoverboard, like from Back to the Future.
Okay, better tell us about that one.
So everybody's seen the popular Back to the Future movies when Michael J. Fox hops on top of the skateboard that hovers above the ground and goes flying around. And, of course, his doesn't work over water, but mine does. Oh. So I have the world's only hoverboard. I can actually take this thing on stage and throw it to the ground, and it doesn't even hit. It hovers above the ground a couple feet, and I can get on top of it and go flying around the stage. So it's definitely something to see.
Cool.
Wait a minute.
We're looking forward to that.
Yes. You are on the hoverboard on the stage.
I'm on the hoverboard flying on the stage, correct. We've worked on this illusion for the past 13 years, and within the past 8 months, we've finally the technology has presented itself to allow us to do it. So we're extremely excited. We're the only ones to have this in the entire world. And I know according to the movie, hoverboards are going to be a common thing in culture by October 21st, 2015. So we beat people to the punch by a good year and a half.
Patent it right now.
There we go.
Patent
I'm on it. I'm on it. Let me file the paperwork right now.
Wow. I'm already impressed. What else are you doing?
We're doing a lot of stuff. Our show, it's not your standard magic and illusion show. So I don't walk out on stage with wind blowing my hair and women dancing around me. This is a highly interactive show where we use people from the audience to actually assist during the magic. We're going to make somebody from the audience levitate in midair that night on stage. For all the guys out there that are listening that have always dreamed of making their mother-in-law disappear, this would be an awesome show to come to because we do make somebody from the audience disappear. And the best part is we haven't figured out how to bring them back yet. So, I mean, it's a win-win for everybody.
Yes, yes, it is.
Except perhaps the mother-in-law.
Well, yeah, but she's not going to be there to complain.
I'm trying to get mine to go, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Interactive.
One of the features, I don't want to give too much away because we want people to be excited and shocked by what they're about to see. But it's grand scale magic, so we have the full stage set and the lighting like you would see at a rock concert. And we combine that with some visual magic, such as myself getting locked inside of a glass box that goes up 10 feet in the air. And then I instantly disappear from that box while it's suspended in midair. And I won't tell you where I reappear because I don't want to give it away.
Right. A glass box, meaning you can see through the box.
You can see entirely through the box at all times.
And you disappear.
And I vanish instantly.
And turn up somewhere else.
And turn up somewhere else. I might just reappear back in Florida if the weather keeps up here.
Actually, it's pretty nice today.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I heard it's going to rain tonight, though.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, well, there's that.
Well, I can tell you for a fact that on November 16th in Whitewater, it's going to snow. because I'm going to make it snow on stage that night at the end of the show.
Okay. So bring shovels?
Your shovels and your ice melt and be prepared with your scrapers.
All right.
Mittens, hats, scarves.
Yeah. So you, you're not pulling rabbits out of hats or anything like that?
Rabbits out of hat, no card tricks. I think the closest thing I have to a wild animal in my show is a pocket handkerchief that comes to life. And I'll tell you what, this guy's got better dance moves than Justin Timberlake.
Oh, boy.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is pretty good. The best part is, though, it's real interactive. It's high energy. It's a lot of fun. And it's a great event for the entire family. So the kids love it just as much as the parents and the grandparents do. And it's affordably priced. We've got a special going right now with a buy one, get one just for a limited time. So it's a great event. And if you haven't seen Magic Live, if you've only seen it on TV, it doesn't do it any justice. It's definitely something that you need to see live with no camera tricks, sitting right there watching the stuff happen on stage. It's definitely an experience that people will get the opportunity on November 16th.
Mm-hmm. It's like recorded music unless you're there.
Exactly. And I promise there will be no camera tricks at the show that night.
Well, okay. If it's live, it's tough to do. That would be magic, doing a camera trick at a live show.
Right, and at no time will my hands ever leave my wrists. So, I mean,
that's good, unless somebody cuts badly.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, Leslie isn't doing the cutting on the
16th. No, not there.
That's true. Actually, I've since taken that trick out of the show after a few more close calls recently. But we've replaced it with some really cool stuff. And
well,
I have some other new magic that we're going to be doing in the show on the 16th as well. But you'll have to come and check it out. And one effect I'm really excited about, we're actually going to do the whole magic illusion. People always think if they could record it and play it back and watch it frame by frame that they could figure out how magic is done. So on the 16th, I'm going to perform a full illusion completely in slow motion.
Slow motion?
Slow motion. It's going to be a slow-mo illusion just to prove to everybody that no matter how much you slow it down, you still can't figure it out.
Do you even talk slow?
Oh,
yeah, I will talk slow.
I tell you, but my entire life, since the first time I saw that magician pull a rabbit out of a hat or whatever he did, I've just been fascinated by it. I'm not alone. Johnny Carson, Orson Welles, there's a whole list of famous people that have been fascinated and have been amateur magicians, so to speak. But it just baffles the mind. I was reading, I'm going back a lot of years, back to the 60s. There was a guy named Ted Serios. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
No, I'm not.
He was in Psychology Today, or maybe it was, but he would put a camera to his pointed at his mind, snap a picture, and the picture would come out whatever he was thinking.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, they had scientists investigate him. And, he must be really doing this. It's amazing. And then they asked a magician, and, well, of course it's a trick. Watch. he had put some kind of things in his eyeballs or something, and that was what the picture photographed. And the magician did the same thing, just like Serios had been doing, and who claimed he was some kind of a psychic or something. And what the scientists just gave up and said, this is the most amazing phenomenon I've ever seen. In 10 minutes, a magician figured out what the trick was and repeated it.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. Harry Houdini, actually, in the later part of his career, he did something similar. He was very upset with the mediums who basically were tricking the public into saying that they could contact the spirits of the dead. And he would actually go around into these different parlors and wear costumes and disguise himself and go into these seances and reveal in front of the paying patrons with the medium, so to speak. He'd actually debunk everything that they were doing. And he made it a passion of his towards the later part of his career to to stop that type of fraud from taking place.
Unfortunately, it's still going on.
Call me now, right?
Right. Well, I just thought it was interesting, you know, as a scientist going at it from a scientific angle. But it's a trick. It's an illusion.
And that's the biggest thing. I think what it is it's entertainment. Magicians, and there's a couple out there today that want people to believe that everything they're doing is some mystical power that they're granted with. That they're gifted with ESPN and can read into the future. But the reality is it's entertainment. So,
yes.
The goal is a performer. That's what makes the difference between a magic trick and an illusion. A magic trick is something that you perform for people to trick them and to cause them into thinking, how did they do that, and trying to figure it out. Where the art of illusion is more suspending people's disbelief and just creating an amazing miracle that they just accept, knowing that it's not real, but they're just so engrossed in the process of the performance that they just accept it for face value and enjoy the entertainment factor behind it.
So, that's an excellent way to put it.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about when you got started in magic, Bill.
I got started as a little kid. I got a magic set for Christmas from my grandparents when I was 5 years old. And I remember that moment. And one of the magic tricks I learned in there was how to make a quarter disappear. And I went over to my dad and I put the quarter in my hand and I made it disappear. And he looked at me and he looked at me and he was like, "How did you do that?" And from that moment, I was completely hooked. I knew magic was what I wanted to do. And I never let it down. So for my 8th birthday, my dad had found a magic shop in Chicago called Magic Incorporated that was owned by a famous ventriloquist / magician by the name of Jay Marshall, who was popular back in the 50s, performed a lot on the Ed Sullivan Show. He was on Carson. And we went there, and Dad gave me 40. I had a choice. I could have a birthday party with my friends or head to the magic shop. So we went to the magic shop. I got $20 worth of magic and started putting together little shows for my friends in the neighborhood. My first paying show was I got paid $1 to do magic at a garage sale down the street. And anytime I had a chance to perform, I was always doing magic. Everybody in the neighborhood called me Mr. Magic, which was actually my first magic name on my very first business card. And it's just one of those things I never put down since. And it's grown over the years from doing little performances for my friends and classmates to then it was birthday parties for paid shows to school assemblies to corporate events. And then I won a major magic competition when I was 18 with one of my routines with the dancing handkerchief, as a matter of fact. And after winning that routine, it just kind of sent things off into orbit to where they are today.
It's an act that never disappoints. I mean, you've got to be good. If you're not, I don't think you stay in the business very long. But for the entertainment tonight, some corporate convention or something, we have a magician. And now I think some people go because they're convinced they can figure it out.
Sure.
Others have just been before and they know how they're going to be entertained. But a lot of reasons, but they love it. Everyone loves it.
Right. And I think the main word that you said there is entertained. And my dad was real influential in my career when I was growing up. He's a sheet metal worker by trade. My family was in the heating and air conditioning business for a number of years. And so Dad was really good at fabricating metal and working with wood in the wood shop. So he was instrumental in building some of my first magic illusions that we performed in the show. If you go out and try to buy a magic trick, it's extremely expensive. So we'd get blueprints and work on the stuff together. And he always told me, and one thing that still sticks with me to this day, is he always said that the magic doesn't do itself. It's nothing more than a prop. If you put it on stage, it's going to sit there and do absolutely nothing. It's up to a performer to take that piece of material or apparatus, if you will, and create something entertaining and create the miracle behind it. And I think that's what's really exciting about our show is we do magic in a different way. We make it fun. People are laughing, clapping, having a good time. And it's really about getting the audience involved. But the number one thing, as you touched on, it's about making it entertaining and everyone having a good time. I don't think anybody really wants to sit back in a show anymore and just watch somebody do a bunch of stuff for a few hours and then head home. They want to have that experience. We're so used to the experience and being involved and interacting these days with social media and technology and the things that we see in the movies, that it really pushes things and raises the bar to what people expect when they come to a live show.
And we got to take a break. Can everybody hang on?
You got it.
All right. You're listening to Morning Magazine. We're going to pause for a quick update on the weather. We're looking at a cloudy day today. Rain most likely later this afternoon, a high of 56. Cloudy tonight, good chance for more rain, down to 47. Overcast on Wednesday, more rain, and a high of 53 degrees. It is 52 degrees right now at WFAW.
It's the WFAW Community Calendar.
The Whitewater Arts Alliance has a collection of holiday cards for sale to benefit the Alliance. The cost is $20 per box of 12 and are available at the Cultural Arts Center and other locations in Whitewater. For more information, call 262-473-2360. The next Sustain Jefferson meeting is November 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Johnson Creek Community Center at 417 Union Street in Johnson Creek. There is no charge to attend the meeting and presentation, but a donation at the door is appreciated. There will be a music and storytelling program about the Civilian Conservation Corps at the Fort Atkinson Public Library on November 7th. The hour-long program begins at 1 p.m. and is free and open to the public. For more information, call 563-7790.
The WFAW Community Calendar is also online at 940WFAW.com. In November, we have Thanksgiving. December, more holiday feasting. But right now, you can join Snap Fitness for just $49 and get the rest of the year free. Your $49 includes a Snap Fitness Global Access Card and a free fitness assessment with a personal trainer. Burn off those holiday calories as you work out on state-of-the-art equipment this winter. Stop feeling sluggish. Take advantage of the November special at Snap Fitness in Elkhorn, Fort Atkinson, Oconomowoc, and Whitewater.
It's time to get spanked. The best-selling 50 Shades of Grey has become a world sensation. Now, Spank, the 50 Shades parody, comes to Young Auditorium Tuesday, November 12th. Spank captures the sexy fun of 50 Shades in this hilarious live musical that will delight your inner goddess. Get there early for cocktails, then post-show take a photo with the naughty star himself. Grab your girlfriends for Spank at Young Auditorium Tuesday, November 12th. Tickets on sale now at uww.edu/youngauditorium.
Laters, baby.
Take 940 WFAW anywhere you go by listening online, on your computer or mobile device at 940WFAW.com. From the WFAW Morning News to Morning Magazine, America's top talk shows to high school and Warhawk sports, it's all streaming online at 940WFAW.com. Keep in touch with 940WFAW online, anywhere, anytime at 940WFAW.com.
And welcome back to Morning Magazine, Michael Klisch. And on the line with us, we have, should we call you magician or illusionist, Bill Blagg?
Illusionist works good.
I like that better myself. And also from the Young Auditorium, Leslie Lemuro. And Leslie, people can see Bill coming up November 16th, Saturday night.
Yes, they can, but they have to buy tickets.
How would they do that?
They can buy tickets by calling, which is another type of illusion. How does it get there? calling this phone number, 262-472-2222, or you can go online at uww.edu/youngauditorium, and Bill Blagg is right on that homepage. Click on that and get your tickets that
way. Pick your seat.
Pick your seat. Yeah. You can pick your seat. You can... again, bring the whole family. It's very affordable, and it's going to be a great show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we were talking off the air, Bill, Leslie, and I, and she sees this in your act, but it's the best of them. They tell you what they're going to do, but they take it a step beyond that.
Yeah, that's pretty much we call it the prestige in magic, and there was actually a movie that came out based on that simple fact. magicians lead you down that path, and just when you think you know what's going to happen, they twist you and send you a different direction. And that's what kind of makes some of that entertainment factor enjoyable and a lot of fun, because you just never know what's going to come next.
It's a
roller coaster ride of magic, that's for sure.
Then there's always the chance it won't work, although I've never seen that on stage.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that myself either. So
that's good.
I'm knocking on some wood over here. It's all in the prep, making sure you're prepared and you're rehearsed and that you're ready to do what it is that you're going to do. I know some people will grab a magic trick and put it on stage a week or two later. I'm of the philosophy that these things take years and time to stage and put to the right piece of music and the right lighting, and in essence, painting the right and the proper story behind it. So it makes for a lot of fun. Like I said, the parents and the kids, it's a great family event to bring everybody out. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to make 2 tickets magically appear for people for free. So if they go on to the www.edu/youngauditorium website and they enter the password hoverboard, when they buy 2 tickets, they're going to get 2 tickets free. But this is a very limited time, so they need to jump on that ASAP before they disappear.
Hoverboard.
Hoverboard.
Hoverboards.
H-O-V-E-R?
B-O-A-R-E. All together in one word.
One word. Hoverboard.
Yeah, and come see the world's only hoverboard. I mean, we've seen it in the movies, but nothing can explain how it is when you see the thing live. I think people don't expect me to get on it. As soon as I stand on it, they're like, whoa! So it makes for a really great time. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're looking forward to coming out there.
Wow. Hoverboard.
Hoverboard.
Yeah.
The secret password.
All right. So you go to the website.
Go to the website or call the phone. You can call by the phone number, too. And then
somebody picks up on the phone, just yell right away. As soon as they're like,
hoverboard!
Young Auditorium, hoverboard!
Yes, the 262-2222 number or 472-2222.
Yeah.
Yes, if you call and say, I'd like tickets to Bill Blagg, hoverboard, I'd like the special. And I believe we're running that through the 13th of this month.
So there's still.
So they will disappear quickly. And I invite people, there's some great seats available right now. The show looks awesome from any seat in the theater. It's a beautiful facility.
It is.
The closer you can get, the better we're going to fool you. So hurry up and get those tickets.
Yeah, and the better chance you might have to come up on stage and participate.
Oh, that's right, too. This is, you will be bringing people on the stage.
Oh, you bet. You bet. I use a variety of people from the audience throughout the show. Of course, volunteers. So those people that just like to sit back and watch and don't want anything to do with coming on stage, you're okay. Just don't raise your hand.
Okay.
And you'll be completely fine.
So you're not going to force anybody up there or levitate them, and next thing they know, they're beside you.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's a really good time. After the show, I meet with everybody that attends the show. I'm out in the lobby afterwards to shake hands.
Oh, really?
And it's always a great time being able to meet the people who come out to the shows and support live entertainment, hearing what parts of the show they love the most and taking pictures and all that good stuff. So. Yeah, it's a great evening. It's a lot of fun. I encourage everyone to come out, not just because it's our show, but it's a great time. They're gonna love it.
You mentioned kids. That's the first we've talked about it. I'm talking about adults being in complete awe of something like this.
Absolutely.
Kids will talk about it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
The adults will become kids again.
Yeah. Right. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Bill, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bill.
My pleasure. Thank you both.
See you soon.
And Leslie Lemiro from the Young Auditorium,
262-472-2222.
ABC News coming up.
Serving Jefferson County for over 50 years. 940 WFAW Fort Atkinson and online at 940WFAW.com.